Take out our Bibles and turn over to the book of Luke. Someone's happy about that. You know, we, as Paul shared earlier, we did have a fantastic time at the marriage retreat the last couple of days, and it's great having Mike and Terry Fontenot. They lead a church in America, in Virginia Beach, and they're over here for, he's here for 2 months, and his wife's here with him for the first month. But they've been married for like 38 years, I believe, something like that, and just the things they shared were just so fantastic. It's amazing, because I've been to many marriage retreats over the years, and you never really know what to expect, and you've heard some lessons, and you hear some basic principles, but it's amazing how there's always so much more to learn. And I went there feeling like I heard so many new things, and we've been married for over 20 years, but just to hear so many new things, which I took copious loads of notes, but just really encouraging. And we made the decision last week that any of the East Christians who are down at the retreat could come back for the service here in the East. And at that time, people thought, yeah, we'll all come back. But after listening all day yesterday to Mike and Terry, most of them decided to stay behind. That's why our numbers are significantly less today than normal. But for those of us who have missed it, I'm sure we'll be able to listen to the messages that they've been recorded, hopefully. But in Luke chapter 12, we're going to be looking at today. One of the lessons yesterday that Mike shared about was just this, it was entitled Sacred Mission, and he talked about this whole idea of having the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, it's a phrase that you find in the Old Testament many times, 20 plus times in the Old Testament. And it's essentially, it's just this deep reverence, there's a fear of God, it's an awe of God. Fear element comes into it, but it's more than just fear. There's a deep respect, there's a reverence, there's an awe that affects and influences our behavior and our attitude towards God. And in the New Testament, that phrase, the fear of the Lord, it appears just twice in the New Testament, both times in the context of of growth in the church. But also in Luke chapter 12, there's the concept of fearing God, which we'll get to in a second. One of the verses, though, that Mike shared yesterday was from Proverbs 1 and 7, verse 7. I'll just read it to you. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." And typically in Hebrew poetry, there would be like a contrast. So the fear of the Lord, the beginning of knowledge, but if you don't want to take that path, then you can take the other path and just be a fool and despise wisdom and discipline or correction. And you know, none of us wants to be known as a fool, right? I mean, if we took a show of hands, how many of us would like to be a fool? We don't need to do that. It's just not something which we want to do. In fact, April typically is a month where people can become fools or get caught out as fools. My son tried to catch me out with an April Fool's. And it wasn't very elaborate and didn't exactly work. But he tried nonetheless. But, you know, sometimes people do get caught out with April Fools. You know, I actually read an article recently where in the Times newspaper a number of years ago, in fact, actually it was 1972, it was the anniversary, the 100th year anniversary of Thomas Cook. They used to do these tours. And Thomas Cook, back in 1872, when they first started, they had this around the world tour which you can get for the princely sum of 210 guineas, which is, I guess, in British pounds today would be about £300, I guess. And you can travel all the way around the world on this luxury cruise and this tour for £300. And so this guy wrote this article in the Times saying that to celebrate the 100th anniversary, then they're going to allow you to do a world tour at 1872 prices. So to the first 1,000 people, you can get a tour around the world in luxury for 210 guineas or £300, something like that. And the response was unbelievable. It was, of course, this article was printed on April 1st. And so it was just an April Fool's. And in fact, in order to apply, you had to speak to a Miss Avril Foley, and which, you know, it was a bit of a giveaway. And but the response was overwhelming. Literally tens of thousands of people were clamoring to be the first 1,000 applicants. People were queuing up to deliver their application by hand at the offices. They were ringing up by phone. It was just overwhelmed with the response. And of course, the newspaper had to explicitly print a retraction saying it was just an April Fool's. We're really sorry. Apologies. They fired the reporter who wrote the article. They gave him his job back a few weeks later, though. But they did this because people don't want to, they don't want to be made to look a fool. And yet, spiritually, how much more important is it that we don't become fools in the wrong sense of the word by not paying attention to what God's word has to teach us, what God's word has to say. In Luke chapter 12, let's look here. And we'll pick up just in verse 1. It says, "Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak, first to his disciples, saying, 'Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in your ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs.'" Basically, Jesus is saying nothing's going to be hidden. One day, everything is going to be exposed. From what's in your heart, to what you've whispered, to what you've done, it's all going to be made known. He says in verse 4, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after the killing of the body, has the power to throw you into hell." Who's that? That's God. He says, you know what? Don't be afraid of people. Rather, you ought to fear the one who has control over body and soul. And that's God. And you ought to fear the Lord. One day, we're all going to have to give an account. One day, everything will be uncovered and laid bare, and there will be nothing concealed. One day, everything is going to come out in the open, and you are going to stand before God, and you should be afraid. But the time to fear isn't then. It's right now, so that it can change your attitude and your approach to life. And he goes on like this, and he carries on speaking about the need to put God first and trust God and everything else. Well, then in verse 13, it says, "Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.'" Stop there for a second. Here is Jesus, and he's talking about this whole idea of, you've got to fear God, you've got to reverence God, you've got to be in awe of God, you've got to confess him before others, and someone interrupts his teaching to say, "Can you tell my brother to share the inheritance with me, please?" I mean, talk about being spiritually dense, being a fool, right there. And it's funny because we have people like this who they'll come to church and they're just totally clueless. It's obvious they're not listening to what's going on. Sometimes, and this has never happened to me, but sometimes you see people falling asleep during a sermon. Okay, maybe it's happened to me once or twice. But you see people falling asleep during a sermon. And I don't know if that's ever happened to you. Maybe you've fallen asleep during a sermon. Maybe you've had a tired night. But it's one thing to fall asleep during a long sermon. It's another thing to fall asleep before the sermon's even started. I mean, here's this guy, Jesus, the Son of God, is preaching and talking about eternal things. And he's like, "Excuse me, can you tell my brother to share?" And Jesus doesn't even get involved. He's like, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? But then he goes on to tell a very poignant parable. And let's look here in verse 14. Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Jesus, watch out! Be on your guard, twice. The term "watch out," it's you've got to be aware of. Just take note, take heed. Be on your guard. Just protect yourself. Watch carefully for all kinds of greed. The word "greed" there simply means it's pleonexia in the Greek, meaning just a desire for more, just wanting more things. And he says you've got to be on your guard against these things. He says a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And that's the kind of theme that runs through Jesus' teachings, that man's life is more than just the physical, more than just the temporary, the things we see around us. It's so much more than that. back when Satan was trying to tempt him, he said, man does not live on bread alone. It's not about what you have. It's not about your food, your clothes, your... It's more than that. It's something eternal. But you know, it's interesting because this is so contrary to the world. We judge people by, you know, what we can see that they've got, don't we? And this whole idea of greed, I mean, I don't know if any of you struggle with greed. I know I struggle with greed in all kinds of forms. One way I know I'm struggling with greed is as I gradually watch my waistline increase. Where, you know, I eat some food and I want to eat more. And sometimes I eat more even after I'm full up. I'm one of those guys who I like value for money. And we go to away to a marriage retreat, and there we've paid for the rooms, but also you paid for the meals as well. And the meals, it's a buffet. So, you know, so for the breakfast buffet, you can have as much as you want. And for the dinner we had last night as well, it was a buffet, and you could have as much as you want. And they had the choice of Hungarian goulash, they had a choice of fish in lemon and asparagus sauce, they had a choice of chicken breasts in the mushroom and wine sauce, they had a choice of a vegetarian dish with pasta, and you can pick whichever one you want. I had all of them. I thought, I'd paid for it, why not? It's value for money. And but the problem there is, even though I don't need it, I just want more. By the way, this is a good tip for you, and you can write this down. Hopefully you're writing all of this down anyway. But there's a website called eSword.net, where you can download free Bible software, which I knew about this website a few years ago. But just recently I went on it again, and they've upgraded the software, and so now it's fantastic. You've got all these different electronic Bibles you can have on your laptop or your computer, along with, Greek dictionaries and concordances, and just, oh, that's fantastic. So anyway, if I throw in a few more Greek words, you know why. But, you know, that's my desire, is I just want more of different things, and that's not untypical for many of us, if not all of us, that we want more. And Jesus says, that's not what life is about. You know, you look at people in the world, and we judge them by, you know, if they've got more money, then that means they must be more important. Or if they've got more power or position or authority, or, you know, if they've got a bigger house or a bigger car, or they go on more holidays, or they have all... And we judge people by that, and yet that is not what is important. It's not about what we have, but rather it's about where we stand before God. Because everything we have is going to be taken away. Let's read on. We see here in verse 16, he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? You know, here's this rich man, and we've read this parable many times, and so we know the story, but here he is thinking everything is going great, and life is good. And God comes to him and says, you are a fool. You are a fool. I can just imagine this guy. He's probably lying in bed. He's got this problem. Got so many crops. What am I going to do? I know. I'll build bigger barns. I'll store it all away. Let's take life easy. I'll sit back and say, eat, drink, and be merry, because life is good. And then all of a sudden, God says, you're a fool, and this night you die. And he says, you know, this is the way it's going to be with anyone. In fact, in verse 21, he says, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. Jesus talks about this whole idea of being rich towards God. He talks a lot about storing up treasures in heaven. He talks about this whole idea of using worldly wealth to make friends yourself, so that when you get to heaven, you'll receive a rich welcome. He talks about in Matthew 6, about when we pray, we should do so secretly. When we give, we should do so secretly. When we fast, we should do so secretly, because then we will be rewarded.
in heaven. On earth, if you do those things openly, people see you and your reward will be, what a nice guy. But if you do it not for men to see, but rather for God, it's a different matter. And you see, our attitude has got to be, we want to be storing up treasures in heaven. It's not about, let me accumulate things on earth. That's not what it's about. The people who are rich on earth, Jesus says, hey, sell it. Give to the poor. Take care of the needy. Help those around you. But the most important thing is focusing on the eternal and not on the temporary. Everything we see around us, it only lasts for a very brief time. You know, he says to this man, this is how it will be. In verse 21, this is how it will be if anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. This is how it will be. How will it be? I'll tell you how it will be. It will come as a sudden shock and a surprise that life isn't going as well as you thought it was. It will come. Your life will come to a sudden conclusion. That you don't. And you know, this is interesting because for us, we tend not to think about the end of our lives very often. We tend to think that, you know, life is just going to carry on. We've got lots of good stuff and let's work and get more so we can enjoy our later life and everything else. We don't realize life goes so fast. I was, you know, this morning we had breakfast with a couple, Andrew and Rhoda Agabat, who are in the Northwest. And Andrew and I, we used to share a flat together right before we both got married. We lived in a place down in Paddington. And because we're both students at the same university together at UCL. And there we were in 1989, we were both getting married that year. And we were sharing, we both graduated, we were both living in this flat together. And the flat actually was rented in Andrew's name. He was getting married the month before us. We were getting married in August, they were getting married in July. And so when he got married, he kicked me out so he can move in, his wife could move in. I had nowhere to stay. So this morning we sat down and I said, hey Andrew, hi Rhoda. I said, every time I see you, Andrew, I think of the time how you kicked me out of the flat. Just so that your wife could come live with you. And I said, it still hurts, even to this day. 20 years later. And the reason it hurts is because you showed no remorse, no regret, you didn't even say sorry. And he says, I feel this. And he says, I still feel the same way. And he says, I have no regrets. No remorse, he says, a choice between you and Rhoda, I'll take Rhoda. He goes, but you know, that was 20 years ago. That time has gone so fast. It's just bang, just like that. And it's actually quite stunning to me. Andrew was asking me, so how does it feel to have a daughter at university? And I was saying how, actually it feels great. You know, Sarah, she was home for these holidays. She's gone back now to Birmingham. But her last night with us in London, just for the Easter, she cooked this 3-course meal. And Shakira as well, the two of them together, they cooked this 3-course meal. And they, 4 courses. Oh my gosh, 4 courses. They did this fresh tomato and basil soup. Then they had chicken wings. And then they made this garlic bread, and then they had a lasagna and greens and everything to go with it. And then they made this carrot cake, and I tasted a little bit of all of it. And it really was a little bit because really they cooked this massive meal, and they invited Titi and Rashida over, and I had to have the leftovers. I was really sad. I hurt. I was pretty. But you know, but I tasted it, and it was fantastic. It was really, really good, and the garlic bread packed a real kick. I'll tell you that much. But it was amazing, and I was just so impressed. I thought, wow. And Andrew was asking, so how does it feel to have a daughter in the universe? I say it feels great, and she's learning a lot, and it's fantastic. But the time has gone so fast, and our lives are much shorter than we think. And the only thing that really matters is how do you stand before God? How do you stand before God? Are you rich towards God? Is your life focused on God's kingdom? Is your life focused on the eternal? Or are you too consumed with everyday things, with life's worries and everything else? I want to encourage us to take note. Let's not be fools. Let's not be blinded spiritually. You know, that Galatians 6 talks about
about, again, not being fools. He says, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Our lives, there's no getting around it. If we've sown to please God, we'll reap a harvest. But if we've sown to please ourselves, we'll also reap a harvest. And it won't be a good one. I just want to show you this video clip. It's taken from the movie called Up. And the reason I want to show this to you is I just want to remind us of just the brevity of life. And let's just watch this clip now. Thank you. You know, even if we have a full life, one day it's going to come to an end. And the only thing that's going to matter at that point is, are you ready to face God? And I want to encourage all of us is to stop and take note. How are you doing right now? How is your commitment? How is your devotion? Are you storing up treasures in heaven? Are you ready to meet your Maker? Let's go ahead and bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you so much that we have time right now to be able to make sure that our lives are on the right path. Help us to be humble. Help us not to be fools. Help us not to be caught up in the ways of the world and focused on material things and possessions and all these things which will not last. But rather, help us have an eternal perspective. Help us to set our hearts on things above. Help us to focus on Jesus. And help us, Father, to make sure that our lives are in your hands. Help us be humble, be willing to get advice and input from people around us so that we're not deceiving ourselves. But Father, I just pray that every one of us here today will make it to heaven and that we'll use the time that you've given us now to ensure that that's going to happen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.